welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me today. The phone number, if you wish to call in, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Now, I need you to know, if you go to ewerickson.com, you can, in fact, get my recipes. You can see my daily email. You can find out where the show is aired. In Austin, in the Athens, Georgia. Sorry, brain fart there. Athens, Georgia, we're now noon to three. We're over in Tyler, Texas, 11 to 2 Central now, noon to 3 Eastern this week. And we're just continuing to expand the show. Very excited to be stretching across the nation now. As always, you can email me, eric@ewerickson.com. And again, the show number, 877-973-7425. What are we going to do about the woke corporations? The Wall Street Journal reports that CEOs are planning a new push on voting legislation as Texas begins consideration of its election reform package. Now, you need to understand what happened in Texas, because it's very relevant what happened in Georgia as well. Now, let's jump back to what happened in Georgia before we move forward to Texas. One of the things that happened in Georgia, let's take the feeding and watering of voters in line. It has been against the law in Georgia for decades to engage with voters standing in line within 150 feet of the polling location. You had candidates who were running for office wearing campaign T-shirts show up with pizzas and bottles of water and give them to the voters standing in line. You had Planned Parenthood activists in Planned Parenthood T-shirts passing out bottles of water labeled with Planned Parenthood. You had Stacey Abrams, Fair Fight Georgia, doing the same thing. And local Democratic election officials looked at the rules and they said, well, giving food and water isn't really electioneering, even though it said things of value given to voters at the polls within 150 feet was against the law. They said that food and water wasn't actually that. So the state legislature, Georgia, has clarified now that, in fact, food and water is part of that. And you can't give food and water within 150 feet of the polls except through unmonitored water stations and food. And outside of 150 feet, you can have food trucks and beer if you want, so long as you get the permitting required. You just got to stay 25 feet from the line. I personally would be much more invested in going to vote if I knew I could get a taco and beer while I stand in line. Well, now it's moved to Texas. The fight has moved to Texas as the Texas legislature is considering election reform measures there. Now, here's what happened in Texas. In Houston, in Dallas, in Austin, in other progressive enclaves, and in Houston, the actual city center areas move more and more to the left. Dallas has, Austin has always been, and more so now. You had local election officials try to say that the laws of the elections were vague. And they started doing 24-hour balloting, expanding voter access rules that were against the law. But they said, well, the law is vague, it's nebulous, it's overbroad. We can squeeze in these exceptions. Well, they disrespected the law. The left disrespected the law. And the Texas legislature is responding to get rid of all the vagaries. Because in large part, what happened is that they overwhelmed the judiciary with a bunch of lawsuits, and it was local judges who were also Democrats saying, you know what? Nah, we're gonna allow this. You got to remember, in Texas, up until what, this last election, you could vote all or nothing, Republican or Democrat. And in 2018, a lot of popular elected officials at the local level were swept out of office by people coming. They were mad at Donald Trump in 2018 and they voted Democrat. And of course, that set the entire media agenda in 2020 that Texas was going to go left. Texas was going to turn blue. Texas was going to be overwhelmed with the Democrats. And it didn't turn out that way. The Republicans didn't lose any congressional seats at all. They held the state legislature in Texas. They did remarkably well. But because in 2018, people could just check the box Democrat. Well, a lot of local judges who were popular, they got swept out by progressives who were running against them. And those progressive judges said, hey, you know what? We're going to allow these local Democrats to take advantage of the so-called vagaries of the law and do crazy things. I mean, they had drive-through voting, all sorts of stuff. Now, here's the thing. The left will listen to this and they'll say, well, shouldn't we make it easier to vote? No, we shouldn't make it easier to vote. I resent the insinuation that somehow it's hard to vote, number one, and number two, that we should make it even easier. We do not, on either side of the aisle, should we want stupid people to vote. And there are a lot of stupid people. I do not think we should make it as easy as possible to vote, because then we have a bunch of stupid people voting who don't even know who they're voting for. Oh, that candidate is handsome. I'm going to vote for him. No, you don't want people like that voting. Cut it out. You know, by the way, we used to, as a society, be able to agree we don't want the idiots voting. We got enough idiots who figured it out to vote. I absolutely fundamentally disagree with the idea that we should make voting as easy as possible. No, I do not think so. Because if you make it as easy as possible, you've got this herd mentality of people who are like, oh, my friends are going to go vote today. I'm going to go vote too. Well, who are you voting for? I don't know who's on the ballot. Oh, I like that person's name. I'm going to vote for that person. You have this happen. You know this happen. You know people. Forget, just stop denying it. You know these idiots who vote like that. Oh, he's so beautiful. I'm going to vote for him. Like the people, the Democrats who voted for John Edwards back in the day. Remember him? He was the vice presidential candidate for John Kerry. What was the left loved his wife. She was the progressive darling. He just had good hair. They called him the Brett girl. Turned out he was cheating on his wife, knocked up some woman. And the left, I can't believe it. He was the second coming of John Kennedy. It's always on the left, John Kennedy. He looks like John Kennedy. No one knows who John Kennedy looks like anymore, other than he was like banging all the supermodels back in the day, and that's why so many people on the left liked him. It's absolutely ridiculous. The lionization on the left of John Kennedy, and then John Edwards, and now Beto O'Rourke too. He's got Kennedy-esque looks, says the media. That's apparently the defining characterization for a credible person to vote for. He's got Kennedy-esque good looks. Never mind, he's an idiot. I mean, that guy, I feel sorry for the people of Texas. He says he's not going to run against Greg Abbott, but I have a sneaking suspicion he is, because it's pretty clear he doesn't like his family. And I don't say that lightly. I don't want to drag them into it. But if you ever read these profiles of Beto O'Rourke, the guy is like a listless 40 or 50-year-old who skateboards and drops the F-bomb and can't acknowledge the fact that he's actually not a teenager anymore. I mean, and then he like floats around the country so he doesn't have to deal with his wife and kids. No responsibility. That guy didn't want any responsibility. And the left line, it's Kennedy-esque good looks. We don't want people voting who think that's a good idea. And the left in Texas took advantage of what they called vagary. So now the Texas legislature is having to be the bad guy and say, no, these things aren't vague. Let's make it really clear for you. You can't do this crap. And of course, they'll, we're going to protest and boycott Texas like we did in Georgia. You got Stacey Abrams gearing up for battle. And now they've got the CEOs out there. Dozens of chief executives and other senior leaders gathered on Zoom this weekend to plot what several said big businesses should do next about new voting laws underway in Texas and other states. Can I just pause with the irony here and note that they're on a Zoom call? Zoom, a company notorious for routing video chats through China and potentially censoring phone calls for China. Yeah, they're they're so worried about our democracy, they're willing to get on that platform. Ken Chenault, the former chief executive of American Express, and Kenneth Frazier, CEO of Merck, urge the leaders to collectively call for greater voting access, according to several people who attended. Mr. Chenault and Frazier cautioned businesses against dropping the issue and asked CEOs to sign a statement opposing what they view as discriminatory legislation on voting, the people said. A statement could come early this week, the people said, and would build on one that 72 black executives signed last month in the wake of changes to Georgia's voting law. Mr. Chenault said told executives on the call that several leaders had signaled they would sign on, including executives at Pepsi, PayPal, T. Rowe Price, and Hess Corp, among others, according to the people. PayPal confirmed it has signed the statement. Pepsi, T. Rowe Price, and Hess didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. As more companies and their leaders have spoken out on the issue in recent weeks, their stands have drawn the ire of Republican state and federal legislators who say companies are miscasting the matter and shouldn't act as shadow lawmakers. Meanwhile, progressive activists and others who oppose the laws have said that the actions leaders are taking aren't strong enough. Many CEOs now feel a duty or pressure to make their views explicitly known to employees and others. Plenty of companies remain wary of wading into politically charged areas. One executive from a Fortune 100 consumer products company said board members, employees, and vendors are pressing leaders to speak out, but doing so could put a bullseye on the company. It's really a no-win situation from a corporate standpoint, the executive said. Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank, who owns Atlanta United and the PGA Tour Superstore, said on the call he believes a large share of fans of the NFL, Major League Soccer, and PGA want the groups to make their positions known on voting rights. He's the co-founder of Home Depot. Now, he says that they should have done more since Colin Kaepernick spoke out. Of course, Starbucks is urging it as well. Some leaders spoke out in favor of signing on to this new statement, including AMC Entertainment Holdings and others. These woke corporations are doing the bidding of the left, pressuring people. Ed Bastain, the CEO of Delta, of course, got into this. He targeted the NRA earlier, and now he's targeting these voting laws. But what's so funny here and what's so remarkable is that these companies are essentially trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're not really standing up before the laws are passed. Like, take the Georgia situation. Now, Apple, Amazon, and Dell have come out and blasted Texas for doing what Texas is about to do. And by the way, the Texas legislature should stand up and do this. Do not be bullied by corporate America. It's not like they're going to pack up and leave your state. They threaten it, but they won't. Why? Because Texas is awesome. They're not going to leave. Same with Georgia, these companies. It's not like Delta is going to uproot from Atlanta all of a sudden. And with Delta and with Coca-Cola in Georgia, they waited until the law was passed. And then they seal clapped it until the wokes got mad at them. They're like, we condemn this law that we praised on Friday. Jeffrey Lord over at the American Spectator has this piece. Boycotting is usually not a tactic of conservatives. Yet it worked wonderfully well in the 1960s civil rights era. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used the boycott quite famously and to great effect. Requesting ID to vote, as the new Georgia law does, in which Major League Baseball and some of its sponsors are protesting, is decidedly not racist. Both Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola demand ID to enter Delta's airline and Coke shareholder meetings. Are they racist? Well, using their standards of what qualifies as Jim Crowism, as President Biden claims then, and as I noted in the American Spectator earlier this week, they are. In boycotting the majority black Atlanta and 30% of small businesses in Atlanta that are minority owned, by moving the All-Star game out of the city, Major League Baseball, with its woke moral condescension, made itself a laughable spectacle. Another Wall Street Journal columnist, Karl Rove, outlined exactly why it was devastating. He went on to note exactly what's happening with woke corporate tycoons. They didn't bother to do their research in wading into a political battle that details of which are way over their head. Rove noted that Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, had dropped his sport into red-hot controversy based on imaginary facts and flawed assertions. Put another way, Manfred doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, will conservatives boycott? I don't know. Now, I've talked to individuals who say, yes, we're going to boycott these companies. I've got to take my dad to Florida in a couple of weeks. His younger brother, his last surviving sibling, has not been in good health. My dad wants to get down there and see him, so I've got to take him over there. We're using Delta. I've got Sky Miles. I can do it. I'm not boycotting Delta. It's the best airline in the country as far as I'm concerned. Coca-Cola, I drink Dr. Pepper, so no loss there for me. But some of these corporations, I do think at some point conservatives are going to have to unite and pick a company. All of us together pick a company and say, we will not, as conservatives, as Christians, we'll work with churches. We won't do business with this company. Because these companies are wading into areas on behalf of wokes. They don't really understand what's at stake. They don't really understand the laws. They're believing the mischaracterizations from the left. And they take for granted conservative dollars. They're scared of Boko Haram, the left-wing terrorist social justice movement. They're scared of China. So they'll do China's bidding. They'll do the bidding of the wokes. And they just take our money for granted. Well, conservatives will never boycott. I'm not an advocate of boycotts, and I'm starting to think we're going to have to pick a company and boycott. I don't know which one, though. Maybe pick one I don't like and do that one. I don't know. But, I mean, at some point, they keep taking us for granted. They keep wanting to weigh in on this nonsense. And they keep taking the side of Boko Haram and the left-wing talking points without any thought as to maybe the wokes got it wrong. At some point, our voices are going to have to be heard. And, you know, the other thing they're collaborating on is punishing Republicans generally. I'll bring you the details on that when we come back. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, 877-973-7425. Hideki Matsuyama has won the Masters. I did not get to watch the end of it. It's normally like the one golf game I make a point to watch and didn't get to really spend time with the game this time. He's the first Japanese man to win the major title. And naturally, the media has rushed to tie it into anti-Asian hate, of course. What's so amazing here is that a group of people have been posting posting pictures online. The dude was at the Atlanta airport flying to Chicago on United and had his green jacket draped over his seat and was just playing on his phone. No big deal, just hanging out of the gate. Like a normal person. Now he's one of the, I mean, literally had his green jacket draped over the chair in the airport on his way back to Chicago. The New York Times actually has an interesting story on the $1.50 sandwich at the Masters, the pimento cheese sandwich, and that it's not just about hospitality. Instead, it's a low-cost way to cultivate one of the biggest brands in American sports. Jose Maria Olazabal hit a tee shot at Augusta National Golf Course's 12th hole one day this week, jokingly bowed to the spectators and meandered toward the green of one of the greatest holes in golf. Much of the gallery swiftly headed towards one of the great bargains in sports, the Amen Corner concession stand, where fans at the Masters can come buy a meal, sandwich, soft drink, and a cookie for as little as $5. What's so interesting is that they spell buy, B-Y, instead of B-U-Y, at the New York Times. The famously controlling club has spent decades accepting that it cannot control the weather. But economic forces surrounding the tournament are well within reason, and so the price of a pimento cheese sandwich has stood at $1.50 since 2003. Adjusted for inflation, and assuming the sandwich was appropriately priced to begin with, it should be about $2.14. Economists believe the enduring bargain at odds with an era of sticker shock prices at many athletic events is not merely a matter of Southern hospitality. Instead, they see hard-nosed, soft power genius, a thrifty way to cultivate the mystique that has helped make the Masters brand one of the most valuable in sports. So, in other words, if the Masters did like all the other sporting franchises out there, it would keep jacking up the cost of things. The most expensive thing on the menu at the Masters is beer. $5 for a beer at the Masters. The pimento cheese sandwich should cost way more than it does. They're arguably losing games, but you know, you can do a $150 package and get a plastic cup, 25 plastic cups, pimento cheese sandwiches, pulled pork, and chocolate chip cookies delivered to your door, courtesy of the Masters. Everything is in the green wrappers, so if the litter falls on the ground, it blends in with the grass, so you can't see it on TV. It doesn't disrupt it. It is a perfectly organized, perfectly packaged event. I mean, it really is. The course itself is stunning. Now, notice there's no reporting of Major League Baseball's commissioner giving up his membership to Augusta National. He's moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta. I saw some sports commentator point out that baseball has been harder on Georgia for passing an election reform bill than it has been on the Astros for cheating. Not a unfair point. And the New York Times clearly is at pains to cover fairly the genius of Augusta. They had to go out of their way to point out critics loathe Augusta National, and yet their marketing is genius. It really is. Now the winner is carrying his jacket around the Atlanta airport. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. If you're just tuning in, I mentioned in the first hour, I have sat here during commercial break and I have looked outlet to outlet, and it is remarkable how none of them have covered that Joe Biden's border czar, southern border, whatever, that she, after 80 days in the White House, is announcing her retirement. And it comes on the same day she announced the Biden administration has decided to pay illegal aliens south of the border money to keep them from coming to the United States. It's one reason I do my daily newsletter, to cover stuff that the media doesn't want to cover. If you want to see these two articles, and in fairness, so Axios covered her retirement and Reuters covered the cash payments. But what they do is they bury them on a Friday afternoon when you're distracted by the Masters, and they don't follow up. I mean, they one story out there and then that's it. If you want to see the story, if you want to see links to them, text the word data to 33777. I've got both stories in my email newsletter. You should really, I mean, this is remarkable. She's retiring after 80 days on the job. They won't acknowledge that they're firing her, but that's essentially what it is, that they finally realize they got a crisis on their hands. Again, the text the word data to 33777. You can see this stuff. We got to talk about what's happening in Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer was on television this weekend talking about her policies and all of her excuse-making now.
Let me start by saying this. You know, we did not have a national strategy for a long period of time. And then the Biden White House came in and we have one. And by and large, it's working and they're doing a great job. I would submit, though, that in an undertaking of this magnitude with such consequence, it's important to recognize where there might need to be some adjustments along the way. We are seeing a surge in Michigan, despite the fact that we have some of the strongest policies in place, mask mandates, capacity limits, working from home. We've asked our state for a 2-week pause. So despite all of that, we are seeing a surge because of these variants. And that's precisely why we're really encouraging them to think about surging vaccines into the state of Michigan. And I'm going to continue to fight for the people.
She's going to continue to fight for the people, but she's not going to keep them locked in their homes anymore. Think of all of the hysteria when Greg Abbott let Texas go back to normal. You had, he was like Brian Kemp. When Brian Kemp opened the state of Georgia, he was going to have blood on his hands. The Atlantic did a story about Kemp being the first governor to reopen his state, that Georgia was doing an experiment in human sacrifice. A month ago, Greg Abbott reopened Texas, and suddenly you had blood on his hands. Left-wing activists claiming that the governor of Texas had blood on his hands for the audacity of getting rid of the mask mandate, and the data in Texas looks really, really good. In fact, while the United States is trending up, it's almost single-handedly because of Michigan. Michigan's skyrocketing rate, and New York, by the way, its skyrocketing rate, it's remarkable what we're seeing in numbers. Michigan's 14-day total, it's a skyrocket. New Jersey is up. Minnesota is up. New York is up. And actually, New York is just trending down. And then you've got states where cases are low. That includes Georgia and Texas and Alabama and Arkansas and Kansas, and Missouri, and Mississippi. Now, let's focus on Texas and Mississippi. Texas and Mississippi on the same day reopened their states for business and got rid of their mask mandates. The media said there would be blood on their hands, and it's not them, it's Michigan. In Michigan, you will recall when small business owners decided they wanted to reopen, they held a protest, and the media vilified them. You had, what's her name, Brooke Baldwin on CNN. I think it was her. She's now out of a job at CNN. She wanted to go even further left than CNN was comfortable, apparently. And she blasted those small business owners and essentially said that it was white privilege or some such. Then you had other people out there saying that these white business owners, if they wanted their small businesses reopened, they needed to sign waivers for their protests and say they would not take a ventilator if they got COVID and needed a vent, that they would die because they were being selfish. Fast forward just a month and a half to the George Floyd protest, and suddenly it was heroic to defy the orders, the pandemic orders, and it was just perfectly fine to march shoulder to shoulder in the streets and burn down businesses across America, then the mostly peaceful protests, no less, to protest George Floyd. The small business owners wanting to get back to work, no, they were terrible, but the people who wanted to burn down America, they were fine. Burn down some of those small businesses along the way. And now you've got Anthony Fauci out there with this muddied, terrible message on the vaccine. I want to get to his audio, but one more point on Whitmer. Whitmer kept everybody locked down in Michigan. She's finally let them slowly reopen, and cases are skyrocketing. Joe Biden won't send her more vaccine, and now she can't shut the state back down. And what the media is dancing around, the New York Times, you had to read the New York Times story of this and get to the very bottom of the story, like 1,000 words. You had to get to the bottom to find out the election's coming and Whitmer's worried. In other words, she can't lock people back down because she's afraid she'll lose re-election if she does it. She's making a political decision. Now, when Georgia and Texas and Mississippi and Florida and Arizona and the like, when they were reopening, the media highlighted the politics of it. Pay no attention to the small business owners losing their jobs. Pay no attention to the unemployment rate. Pay no attention to the school children falling behind. It was all politics. It was all politics. With Whitmer, however, they're trying to make her some martyr to reasonable good sense when, in fact, because she kept people locked down, frankly, you couldn't even get to herd immunity in the state. And now you get this rapid progression of the virus as people come out and they're lagging behind other states in vaccine rollout. Well, it doesn't help that you got Dr. Fauci out there with this.
Well, I would just get back to what the president said even before he was inaugurated, that we need a universal wearing of masks. He said for at least 100 days, it may well go beyond 100 days. Everyone should be wearing a mask. They should avoid congregate settings. They should keep their distance, and they should wash their hands as often as possible. We are not out of this yet. We had 80,000 new infections the other day. Now's not the time to declare victory prematurely. We have not won this yet. We will win it, but we haven't won it yet.
There's that, but then there's also this. Now, pay really close attention to the soundbite.
No, it's still not okay for the simple reason that the level of infection, the dynamics of infection in the community are still really disturbingly high. Like just yesterday, there were close to 80,000 new infections, and we've been hanging around 60, 70, 75,000. So if you're not vaccinated, please get vaccinated as soon as vaccine becomes available to you. And if you are vaccinated, please remember that you still have to be careful and not get involved in crowded situations, particularly indoors where people are not wearing masks. And for the time being, until we show definitively that a person who's vaccinated does not get the subclinical infection and can spread to others, you should also continue to wear a mask for the time being.
You should continue to wear a mask for the time being. You should continue to socially distance. You should continue to do everything that you should have done and not change your life, but actually stay in lockdown even after you get the vaccine. Why is the message get the vaccine and then stay locked down? It seems like if you really want people to get this vaccine, what you need to be doing is telling people, hey, go get vaccinated and live your life. Go get vaccinated and live your life. What's so crazy is the alarm and the fear mongering. Like, for example, let me read you. This is a Twitter thread from Zeynep Tufekci, who is a complex systems analyst and professor who writes in The Atlantic. This is about in Israel, real world evidence on the vaccines and vaccine protection and the different variants. And she writes, if anyone is going to write about the latest Israel variant study, I suggest noting the informative thread by one of the co-authors. This is actually excellent news. And the vaccine resistance is not analogous to antibiotic resistance. I've already been sent an alarming headline by a respectable organization, a co-authors on Twitter explaining it. For what it's worth, the study itself made me feel better about the mRNA vaccines and the threat of the South African variant. Now, we got to call it B1351, because if we call it the South African variant, like Reuters calls it and like CNN calls it, we're racist, just like with the Wuhan virus. You're not allowed to say that. But somehow the British strain is not racist. Here's a better headline for this, she says, adding that the finding about the vaccine breakthroughs are turning out to be really encouraging so far. While it appears that the Pfizer vaccines and others are not as good against the South African variant, those are in clinical trials. The variant, the South African variant, is not as common as people think, and that essentially, if you have people who are 100% guaranteed to be surrounded by the most infected people with the South African variant, then the South African variant can break through to people. But otherwise, it's very, very good. So, for example, there was a study. CNN talked about the 95% efficacy of the vaccine. And that, what are we going to do with people who are flying, who are vaccinated? They're still going to have to go through all these protocols. And it's still not safe, possibly, even though the CDC said it is, for them to travel. What multiple epidemiologists are pointing out about this hype of, oh my gosh, the vaccinated, they can still get the virus, is that yes, in a clinical setting, when exposed to a massive dose of the virus, 5% of people can still get infected. Got that again? In a clinical setting, with a massive potent dose of the virus, 5% of people can get infected who have been vaccinated. In the real world, if you're on an airplane, in order to get infected with the virus, you need to have the vaccine, and literally every single person on the plane needs to have the virus, and the air conditioner needs to be broken so there's no airflow. And you might get infected. You've got a 5% chance of getting infected in that scenario. In the real world scenario, where airplanes have air conditioners that are surgical center qualified, if not better, you're not going to get the virus on the plane. If you're surrounded, if the person next to you has COVID and you're vaccinated, you're not going to get infected. In fact, Sean Trendy, who writes for Real Clear Politics, notes this. The reporting on these studies is dangerous. The type of reporting generates clicks, but reduces confidence in the vaccines, reduces vaccination rates. Bad news about the vaccine should be reported, but we should be triply sure it's actually bad. The more I think about it, the angrier I get. The basic narrative about the vaccines is becoming, you can't stop wearing masks, tons of other people aren't getting them, and oh, by the way, the variants are possibly going to render the vaccine useless. And then in 3 weeks, we're going to be standing here wondering why the lines for the vaccine are empty. If you can't change your life and go back to normal after the vaccine, what's the point of getting the vaccine? And yet this is the narrative from the media and the government, which essentially at this point is just telling people that the government still wants to control you. Michael Osterholm was on Meet the Press. Listen to this, the spin of it. I want to read you some of his transcript. This is with Chuck Todd. Let me say that at this time, we really are in a Category 5 hurricane status with regard to the rest of the world. At this point, we will see in the next 2 weeks the highest number of cases reported globally since the end of the pandemic. In terms of the United States, we're just at the beginning of the surge. We haven't even begun to see the fourth surge yet. And then he says, let me give you an example on an airplane flight. When you get vaccinated, it's like buying a fireproof suit that works 90 to 95% of the time, but it doesn't work all the time. So why would you want to walk into a big fire if you don't have to? This B117 variant, that's the UK strain that we've talked about, it's 50 to 100% more infectious. It causes more severe illnesses 50 to 60% of the time. It's almost like having a whole new pandemic descend on us. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. This guy has been out there saying that we are in the darkest days of the pandemic. And yet the seven-day average has actually gotten better in the United States, even as it's going back up. It's nothing like what he said. But then here's the other thing. If it's 90 to 95% effective, the odds of you getting the virus are actually slim none. And that's in a clinical setting. So the tale from the government and from the epidemiological, scientific, academic community is doom and gloom. It doesn't matter if you get the vaccine. They essentially don't want you to go back to living your normal life. And they resent like hell places like Texas and Georgia and Florida and Mississippi, where those states have said, we're open for business. Go about your life. Take reasonable precautions you think are necessary for yourself. The government's not going to have to tell you to do it. And guess what's happening? As the vaccination rate goes up, the viral rate is going down, even in these open states. And the states like Michigan, where they've kept it locked up forever, the virus rate is going up. It's almost like maybe all along, with maybe a month to lock down and get hospital resources up to snuff, maybe otherwise we should just let people live their lives and decide for themselves what's safe and what's not safe. Because the states where people are deciding live and let live and do what in your best judgment is right, they're having better outcomes than the ones where everyone has to look to the nanny state and Uncle Sam and get permission. Uncle Sam, please, can I go outside today? Those are the people who are still getting the virus. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the nation. The phone number 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Let's say you fry fish in the house, fry French fries. It gets a little smelly. You know, the grease sometimes smells. You got the air conditioner on, you got the vents going to suck out the smell, but it kind of lingers. You need something to help get rid of the odor, and that something is the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's an air purifier. Now, it helps my son with his allergies. Y'all, I kid you not, since we've been using the Eden Pure in his room, he and I have terrible allergies. We get allergy shots, and we've been neglectful in the last couple of weeks because just our schedules have been nuts with his soccer games and all. And we can put the Eden Pure Thunderstorm in his room, let it go at night, and in the morning he wakes up and he does not have this green goop coming out of his nose like he did before the Eden Pure. It really is a night and day difference. I can attest to it myself. In fact, he stole my Eden Pure and he won't give it back. So I had to order one my own. You can order one as well. If you need if this thing is portable, you can hold it in the palm of your hand. You can put it in your car with you. Can use a USB plug. It works. It really does. I can attest to it in my own house. Whether you're fish frying in the kitchen and you need something to help get rid of the odors, or your kid has allergies and needs something to help him sleep better at night, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm does it all. EdenPureDeals.com is the website. You'll get $10 off the lowest sale price if you use the word Eric, E-R-I-C-K, at checkout. It's Eden Pure, Eden like the Garden of Eden, EdenPureDeals.com. You get $10 off the lowest sale price when you use my name, Eric, at checkout. You can also see my name on the website when you go to EdenPureDeals.com. You can click it and go through. But get this thunderstorm. It's great. It's affordable. It works. In fact, I know it works as well because I did do French fry frying last night and then got them inside and brought the oil pot inside and it just, I got to get a real outdoor fryer instead of taking my Dutch oven outside. I've got a side burner, but come inside, stink up the house. The Eden Pure works. It works better than the essential oil, but don't tell my wife. Okay. All right. We must move on before I get in trouble here. She's going to hear that. Do I have time? Yeah, I want to play this by Charlie Dent. Listen to this. Charlie Dent is the progressive Republican who's left Congress now, always sided with the Democrats, just briefly.
A party that espouses limited government should not be entering into these types of very complex and difficult medical decisions.
Now, he's talking about transgenderism, and Arkansas's Governor Asa Hutchinson vetoed legislation and was overridden that would ban gender-modifying surgeries on teens who are still going through hormone changes and the like. And Charlie Dent, a leftist who has never bought into the limited government message, the party of limited government shouldn't be doing this. I'm real sorry here, but when the transgender movement is out there bullying everyone else and silencing them, it's them who won't leave us alone, not us who won't leave them alone. The only reason conservatives are having to stand up and deal with this issue is because they've been so in-your-face aggressive about forcing boys onto girls' teams and doing genital mutilation to children who haven't even grown up yet. They played with a toy truck. Really, my daughter must be a boy. Somebody's got to stand up for these kids, and you can't expect the party of death that wants to just abort the kids to actually stand up and protect them. Somebody's got to. This is the perfect position for the party of limited government to keep the wokes out of the way of ruining our lives.